In the few weeks that I was teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, I attempted to establish that this fruit of the Spirit were the characteristics of God. That God is love, and God gives us love. God is patient, God gives us patience. God is self-controlled, God gives us self-control. All of these things are from God, and when we receive them, we are more like Him. We are restored into His likeness. Then 2 weeks ago, I spoke that God is holy, and that we are to be holy because He is holy. In other words, everything we are to do is because that is what He is. He does not require something from us that He will not provide. And that's what He is. God is holy. God will provide holiness. We should not think it's impossible when He requires it, because that's what He is. If He requires it, He will give it. So love and joy and peace come from God. That's what He is. Holiness comes from God. That's what He is. And today I'd like to speak on another characteristic of God, and that is glory. It's hard to say what glory is. I gave one little definition here today, that glory is the opposite of disgrace or shame. It is number one, but it has something else attached to it besides winning the gold medal in the Olympics. That is glory. It has with it, when it comes to God, a splendor, a radiance, a brightness that is beyond that something you can see. You can see light. You cannot see darkness. But this is light that's beyond seeing. Great brightness. And when we come into the presence of God with this brightness, there are two responses that we can give. We can give the response that the 29th Psalm said, and all in the temple cried, glory. And the other one you can give is, woe is me, I am undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips. When we are in the glory of God, we're either going to be conscious of our sin, or if we're already purified, we're only going to shout glory. But if we're not purified, we're going to say, I'm in big trouble in this. I'm going to start this morning with giving you some different references, but I do not want you to look them up. I will attempt to recite them. And if I misquote, Bessie can tell me later. All of these quotations have something to do with the glory of God. And then we will get down to a text that we'll read and talk about. The first reference I thought of this morning is, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The heavens, meaning the stars, the sun, and the moon, these are voices declaring God's glory, and they declare it in every language on the earth and every dialect. And that's what the rest of the psalm says. The heavens are speaking to all peoples about God's glory. It also speaks that God gave this glory to man when He created man. In the 8th psalm, it says that He crowned man with glory and honor. And later on, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that when Jesus became a man, it refers to this reference, a little lower than the angels, but crowned with glory and honor. So God has given glory to man in creation, a little lower than the angels. There's a wonderful psalm, the 24th psalm, it says that the King of glory may come in. And then it says, who is this King of glory? And it says, the Lord Almighty, He is the King of glory. This is, it speaks of God as a God of glory, a King of glory, King of brightness. And it speaks that the gate should open wide. The King of glory is going to come in. Who is He? the Lord Almighty, the King of Glory. Then we read the 29th Psalm this morning, ascribed to the Lord. Glory to his name. And all cry glory. Then we see in Isaiah 6, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim, and each cried, Holy, holy, holy. The Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. These are what the angels are calling about the Lord, holiness and glory. In the 12th chapter of John, it speaks of this event and says, when Isaiah saw his glory, referring to the year that King Uzziah died, that he was in the temple and saw the glory of God. When Isaiah saw this glory, he was conscious of his sin. He was convicted of sin. He confessed his sin. He was forgiven for his sin, and he is ready to go to declare the glory of God. The 96th Psalm is a quotation from David's dedicating the tabernacle when he moved the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and it says, declare his glory among the nations. This glory is something that can be seen. It's also something to be declared, to be propagated, to be preached. The heavens declare it, we're to declare it. Prior to David moving this ark, the ark had been captured and been desolate. But many years before, the ark came with glory. The ark was a box, maybe this big, a little bit bigger, and it had the Ten Commandments in the box. It had some other things in the box, but on the top of the box was a lid, and this lid was called the mercy seat, and on top of the mercy seat was glory. The glory was there, and the priests became very evil priests, and they were killed, and the ark was captured, and there was a great pronouncement, the glory of Israel has departed. The glory left Israel. What's the word, the Hebrew? Ichabod. Ichabod is the glory of God is gone. Okay, God expected glory in the people. Moses said to God, he said, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. When he'd gotten the Ten Commandments, he'd seen the glory of God earlier, and his face shone with glory from the reflected glory that God had. Ezekiel saw the glory of God in the first chapter of Ezekiel, and the description was like a thunderstorm coming out of the north. Only it was much more violent than a thunderstorm. And after you finish the chapter, he said, Ezekiel saw the glory. Describe this glory in detail. So if you want to see the glory of the Lord, read Ezekiel chapter 1. God, Ezekiel saw the glory. Moses saw the glory. Solomon saw the glory when the glory came into the temple. This glory was great brightness. Isaiah saw the glory. In the book of Revelation, in the 5th chapter, it tells us, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Now it tells us who's singing this to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds of millions of angels. And then it says, all creatures start to sing. To him who sits on the throne be glory and power. No, I'm sorry. Be honor and glory and power. everybody is going to be singing about the glory of God. It's what heaven is made of. In the book of Revelation, it says there's no sun up there in heaven. In the New Jerusalem, there's no sun. There's no moon. There's no night. There's no church. There's no temple. Because He is the light. He is the glory. That's what it's all going to be. It's going to be glory. We don't think that way, sing that way much. And I know I don't. I would like to. I'd like to just be going around saying, glory. Glory, man, glory. But I'm afraid it would be... That's all right. She embarrasses me all the time. It's something that we're going to spend the rest of our eternity singing, glory, holy, glory. It's something that, that's our destination. Glory. Left my notes. Well, that's all right. I had them most of them written out. You see that when there was a man named Stephen, and he speaks right before he was killed. He said, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. That's how he started his message. And then the message ends by he looked to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. He started his message out with glory and it ended up seeing glory. This glory is a brightness and a radiance and something that's so overpowering and so overwhelming that nothing else gets attention. That's why these seraphim are singing, glory, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Now, there are many passages in the Bible about glory. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. He's saying that people cannot understand the glory of God when they read about the glory of God in the Old Covenant. It's there. They got a veil over their face, over their minds. They cannot see the glory. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. Not just a face to keep from seeing Moses' face in glory, but this veil covers their spiritual understanding of glory. They cannot see glory. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When anybody receives Jesus Christ, suddenly this blindness is removed, this covering is removed from his heart, and he can understand and see in part glory. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces and unveiled hearts, all reflect the Lord's glory. Now that we have turned to the Lord, we have unveiled hearts, unveiled faces, and we can see and reflect God's glory. Our faces are mirrors of the glory of God, like the moon is a mirror of the sun. The moon we can look at, the sun we cannot look at. We see the brightness of the moon, it's a reflected glory of the originating light of the sun. Now we who have received Jesus Christ have had the veil taken away from our hearts, veil taken away from our face. We can see the brightness of the glory of God and consequently reflect that glory. We reflect the Lord's glory. And we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. King James says, from glory to glory, ever-increasing glory. In other words, the veil is removed. We can now see God's glory. And as we see it, we reflect it. As we reflect it, we can see more of His glory. Our mirror becomes a better mirror. And the more glory we receive, the more glory we reflect, the more glory we reflect, the more glory we can see. So it means that from the start of our conversion to Christ, when the veil is removed, we can have ever-increasing glory. We can look more and more like the Lord Jesus. It's reflected glory, but the more we see and look at Him, the more we reflect. We all know people like that. We all know people that are not like that. We know people who reflect the glory of the Lord. I suppose from both Bessie and my view, the person who reflected the glory of the Lord the most of people we knew was Corrie ten Boom. Her face just shone all the time. And it's by the Spirit of the Lord. She was a woman filled with the Holy Spirit, and she, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she talked about Jesus Christ all of the time. I remember one time, before she was famous, before the books were written, movies were done, I had given one of her books called A Prisoner Yet to Mrs. Greengold down the street from us. Mrs. Greengold was Jewish. And then and this is a story of Corrie helping Jewish people escape from the Nazis. And I told Mrs. Greengold that we were having Corrie in town to visit. Well, she said, I'll fix it up so she can speak at the Jewish Community Center. Well, she did fix it up, and we had lots of copies of the book out, the rabbi. And the synagogue in Annapolis, Maryland, was an Orthodox synagogue. It was not a Reformed or Conservative synagogue. The only two Gentiles in this place were Corrie ten Boom and myself. And she, they received her and her face shone. They'd read her book. They knew what she did. But I didn't think that was going to do it, because she said Jesus Christ every two or three words. And I thought, if she says it one more time, we're not going to get out of here alive. She was filled with the glory of the Lord, and when you're filled with the glory of the Lord, you're going to talk about Jesus. It's something that happens by the Holy Spirit. This ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So having had this veil removed when we are converted, that allows us to see the glory of God, which allows us to see increasing glory. And the more we see, the more we reflect, the more we look like Jesus in glory. Chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, that's a reference to the veil that we talked about in the third chapter. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It is veiled to those who are dying. The God of this age, meaning Satan, some evil power, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? To keep the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ from shining into them. So they cannot see it. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." That's a quotation from Genesis chapter 1, when God created light in darkness in the universe. When he said, "Let light shine out of darkness," light shined out of darkness. When he said it, it happened. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The sentence may not make sense by itself. How can this light, knowledge, glory of God in the face be seen, understood? But it's still a wonderful statement. That God, who said light shine out of darkness in creation, said light shine out of darkness in Jim Wilson's heart, and light shone out of darkness, and I was saved. When he said it, it happened. We have this treasure. What treasure? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure we have. We have this treasure in jars of clay. What kind of clay? This kind of clay. Something that is biodegradable. Something that's going to decay. We have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. A treasure, a priceless treasure, in a decayable pot. There are a lot of people who take much time making their body very healthy, very fit, very good looking. And they don't have any treasure inside. They say, "Come, look at the pot. Look at this container that's going to decay." There are other people who have the treasure, and people see the treasure. It shines out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the face shines. The less treasure on the inside, the more you have to make up on the outside. And it won't do it. People who have the treasure are beautiful, and the people who don't have the treasure are not. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Why not? The treasure, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Perplexed. Perplexed means we don't know what to do. But the worldly person who doesn't know what to do says, "Well, I guess nothing can be done." We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because we have the treasure. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Why not? We have the treasure, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why are we not destroyed? Because we have the treasure. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to Jesus to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Why? Because we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I want to get to this last paragraph. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We have it now, and we're going to have it more. Though outwardly, our clay pot, outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed every day. Day by day. Why? Because the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The treasure. For our light and momentary affliction or troubles. I want to get this picture. Light and momentary. It's speaking of a scales. You know what scales are? Something you weigh things. And you have true weights on this side, and then you try to figure out how much this weighs. And you have scales here. He said, on this side of the scales, you've got very light troubles and very momentary troubles. You say, no, I got big troubles, and I thought they aren't going to end. He said, no, they're light, like a feather, and you put it on and take it off. It's light and momentary. You weigh this feather, okay? It doesn't have much effect. Our troubles that we have do not weigh very much, and they're very short. Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all the troubles. This light and momentary, short in time, affliction, trouble, is going to cause us to have glory that outweighs all the troubles, and is going to be forever. We're going to have a ton of glory because of this momentary feather. We're going to have a ton of glory, and it's going to last forever. 100 tons of glory. Far outweighs them all. In other words, our future glory is going to be partly dependent upon the troubles that we have now, that we think never end. But he said, no, they're short. They don't weigh very much, but they're going to give us a lot of weight of glory, and it's eternal. It'll never end, as opposed to momentary. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. We think this is long, but the fact that you can see it is temporary. What is unseen is eternal, and we fix our eyes on the eternal. there is going to be glory for us. There is glory for God. If you look with me for a moment to the 17th chapter of John. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorify you. And then the rest of this prayer talks that way. But down in verse 20, verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, as the Father and the Son are one, that all of us may be one with the glory that Jesus Christ gave. What, to whom did he give it? Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. There are some wonderful hymns, I think they're in this book, I won't sing them today, but on glory. And I'd encourage you to read them, meditate on them. People who could write on glory had some picture of glory. Remember, the veil was taken away when we turned to Jesus. And we can see glory, we can see more and more glory. If you have not yet turned to Jesus, then very likely what I said today does not make sense. And it does not make sense to you because the God of this age has blinded your mind. There's a veil over your heart. You cannot see. When you turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away, and you'll be able to see. And it gets more, brighter, and brighter, and brighter. Let's thank God. Father in heaven, we thank you very much that you promised us this glory, you prayed for this glory, they're going to see this glory. Father, we pray that we'd see it more and more. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.